Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order. It's February 10th, 2021. I'd like to have everyone please stand for the flag salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Please be seated. Would the clerk call the roll?
President Bergman?
Here.
Vice President Nix?
Here.
Commissioner Nicholson?
Here.
Commissioner Baltadano?
Here.
Commissioner O?
Okay, thank you. That'll take us to item two on the agenda today. That would be the election of officers. And I would like to start off, and I would like to make a nomination for the vice president, and I would like that to be Jed Nicholson. So there's a motion.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Next, I'd like to call for the election for the president of the commission, and I'd like to nominate our vice president, Jeannie Nix, to be the president for 2021. Is there a motion on the floor? Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Aye. None. Motion carries. So, gladly hand you that.
Thank you. Or maybe. Okay. At this time, I would like to go into a public comment period. Members of the public wishing to address the Civil Service Commission on matters other than those scheduled below may do so when recognized, and the presentations are limited to 3 minutes per individual. Are there any persons who wish to speak in public comment? Seeing none, we'll move on to the minutes. With our packet, we have minutes from October the 28th, 2020. Are there any additions or corrections or comments on those minutes? Yes, Erica.
Have one minor typo that I noticed in the first paragraph. It should say spokesperson. Other than that, they're fine for me.
First paragraph, right where it says called to order.
Responsibility is to serve as a spokesperson.
Excuse me, Eric. I really am not. I'm not seeing that spot.
I think it's just a typo.
Okay.
No,
okay.
All.
Okay. Any other corrections? Okay. Is there a motion to accept the October 28th minutes as corrected?
So moved.
I will second that.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Okay, the minutes from October 28th are approved as corrected. Moving on to the request to approve revised job specifications, and we have victim witness coordinator aid 1 and 2, and supervisor victim witness coordinator. Do we have someone presenting on this?
Good morning, Commissioner. I am.
Okay.
Good morning, Commissioners. Teresa McCarthy-White, HR Analyst in the Labor Division. With me today is Mr. Tim Murphy, the Division Manager over the Victim Witness Division. And on the phone, I have Mr. Dan Dow, District Attorney, as well as Foster Entremont, HR Analyst assigned to the DA's office. Before you today are revision recommendations for two existing class specs and a recommendation to create a new classification in the Victim Witness Division within the District Attorney's office. The two existing victim witness coordinator specifications were created in 1978 and 1989 and last updated in 1998. The primary purpose of these classes is to provide comprehensive assistance to victims and witnesses of crimes, including information, support, advocacy, and claim services. We currently have a paraprofessional entry level, journey, advanced journey, and supervisory level. Our proposal is to update the job title, job duties, and employment standards of these specifications. As outlined in my memo, the following changes are proposed. First, to update the duties listed in the current Victim Witness Coordinator Aid 1-2 spec to include claims assignments duties in addition to the current advocate assignment. Additionally, the duties relating to witnesses of crimes need to be removed from this spec as the Victim Witness Division and these positions are partially funded by the Victims of Crime Act grant. And per the program guidelines, these grant funds cannot be used for witness notification. Lastly, we are proposing to retitle the Aid 1-2 spec to Victim Advocate 1-2-3 to be consistent with other agencies and county standards. The removal of the witness duties from the current Victim Witness Coordinator Aid 1-2 spec created the new need for a separate classification to perform these duties. It is proposed that a new paraprofessional classification be created entitled Witness Coordinator. This class will issue subpoenas for witnesses and victims, coordinate travel arrangements, court escort, and support for witnesses, as well as perform other specialized clerical work of a legal nature for deputy district attorneys and the victim advocates. Finally, we are proposing revisions to the Senior Victim Witness Coordinator spec to bring the job duties and employment standards up to date. Notably, the supervisory duties have been updated and clarified. It's also proposed that the title be changed from Senior Victim Witness Coordinator to Victim Witness Supervisor to be consistent with other agencies and county standards as well. After conversations with the union, SLOSIA, and the department, as well as market research, we have found these title changes and other revisions are justified based on the current roles and responsibilities that are in place for these classifications. The proposed specs are in your packet along with the org chart. I'll now turn it over to your commission for questions.
Okay, thank you very much. I'll start with Erica. Do you have questions on the specs before us? And let's start with the Victim Witness Assistant Coordinator and the change there.
Okay, starting with the Victim Advocate 1, 2, and 3, the first one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I do have some questions, and actually it's kind of clarification of wording. And I'm looking at page 5A008. And first, let me just say a couple things. Let me just say thank you for your patience. The commission hasn't met for several months for a variety of circumstances. And so I want to thank the HR department for your patience on us reviewing these. And in theory, this all makes sense to me, and I can understand why you're heading in this direction. I just have some specific questions with respect to the wording of some of the descriptions, primarily the first one. So the on page 5A008, I'm wondering if in line 16 and 17, this assignment is distinguished by its responsibility for processing compensation claims for victims of crime. Is it seeking or receiving reimbursement of crime-related injuries, or just for victims of crimes for reimbursement? It was a little clunky, so I was just suggesting that you take out the for and just add the seeking and or receiving.
Okay.
And that just might be a stylistic thing, but I had to read it a couple of times to kind of get what was going on there. And then in the second, on lines 19 and 20, it was also, the end of the sentence was a little clunky, and I'm wondering if what we're trying to say is factors affecting position allocation by level include complexity of work, independence of action, and decision-making, and supervision required as opposed to received and exercised.
Yes, I can make that change.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what that was said.
Yes, I can make that change, absolutely.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay, and then at the end, at the bottom of the page, line 29 and 30, the Victim Advocate 3 is the advanced journey level class in the series. Under direction, and I was wondering if we need to specify from who? It sounds like from the victim witness supervisor. I'm just wondering, and this is sort of a consistent question that I have across all three of the specifications that we looked at, or the job descriptions that we looked at, if we need to say who, under direction from whom. Is it my understanding that it would be from the victim witness supervisor, or does that need to be clarified?
It would either be the victim witness supervisor or the division manager over the division.
Okay, so one or the other, and I'm wondering if maybe that needs to be specified.
Absolutely, I can add that.
If I may, this is Mark McKibben. The not referring to a specific classification is typically intentional, so that it provides flexibility. If a particular supervisor's not available, division manager's not available, maybe this comes from the assistant, directly comes from the assistant VA, and so it defaults to whoever is in the organizational chart above this position, rather than relying upon the actual job classification type.
Okay, that's helpful, and I understand that need for flexibility. So, you know, that might be a conversation we need to have, whether it's necessary to spell it out or to spell it out, you know, including but not limited to victim witness supervisor or division manager. Again, as you know, I'm just always concerned about folks being very clear on who they are to be taking direction from. And also who they need to report to if there are any problems. Going on to page 5A010. I had a bit of confusion with line 77 and 78, and I think what we were trying to say here is assist victims with their victim impact statements, restitution request forms, and related matters.
Yeah, that summarizes the intent of that line.
I'm sorry, does that make sense?
Yes, I think that's a good summary of the intent of that line.
Okay, and so I was a little clunky and that was the best I could rework it. Just a minor typo on 5A011, line 100. I think it should say, sorry, that's 5A011, line 100. I think it should say collaborates with fellow advocates as opposed to the fellow advocates. And then my final question is again just clarification on page 5A014. When we talk about the victim advocate 3, I just want to confirm that the 3s don't supervise the 1s and 2s, correct?
Correct. That's why we removed the word supervising and they just more so lead.
Okay. I just wanted to confirm that. The chart that you included was helpful, the flow chart. And I believe that is it. I appreciate the detail here. I appreciate that, of course, the union was consulted. The theory behind these changes makes sense to me. I understand the need to break down the two positions from victim and witness. Thank you. I have no further comments on this particular job description. Do you want to move forward, or are we going to go description by description, Commissioner Nix?
Let's go to any more questions on this particular one, and then we can go back to the supervisory position.
Sure.
So, Jed, do you have any questions or comments on the one before us?
No, I don't.
Mr. Bergman?
I do. Just on page 5A015, and I come back to this every time, I think, as far as the education experience, and where it says this may include, that's my really sticking point. And when it's written up like this, it may include, I mean, I know it's not ever going to happen, but a person without even a GED or high school diploma can apply for the job with this open. And
so you would like me to add a statement noting that a high school
I think somewhere in this it should be some minimum qualification required. not just left wide open. I fall back to that, and I think that's something the commission really needs to get together again and work out. Because every time, every job spec that comes to us now, it always has the same language, hasn't changed, and it's a sticking point. There has to be some minimum to just to start the screening process.
Yes, I'm happy to add that statement.
Pardon?
I'm happy to add the statement saying that a high school degree or a diploma is required.
And any kind of experience, should this person have to have a minimum of some type of experience as well?
So for each of the levels, it does specify what the experience should be. So for the level one, it's either, you know, 2 years of college level coursework in specific fields, including criminal justice or behavioral sciences or a closely related field. Or they can also have 2 years of experience working with the public to provide.
Then on 214, let's make it, this shall include either or. And that would take care of it.
Mr. Bergman, just to be clear, did you also want to still include that it high school or
no.
equivalent? No, just the shall include and then go down to the 2 years of college.
With the other,
okay.
Because there's a minimum set then already.
Okay.
Either experience or 2 years of college.
Any other comments?
No.
Okay. I'm going to stay with the comments on the job education and experience on 5A014, and I'm not sure if this is the right place, but I noticed that there was no place that said exactly victim assistant, and so I don't know if that definition would go after the statement of the line 213 and then moving over to 5A015, whether on line 215 it would say victim assistant one. And the reason that I'm mentioning that is when we go farther down onto line 239, it does specify the victim witness advocate two.
Yeah, I'll add victim advocate one on line 215.
Okay. And I have a bunch of notes here on these. I think that, and it kind of bounces over to some of the things that were drawn out in the education and so on that were required for the supervisor, but just sticking with these.
What page again?
I'm still on 5A015.
Okay.
I'm just saying that this is a global question that also would affect the senior supervisor advocate. I'm now on, okay. I'm just confused on line 219 where it says or 2 years of experience working in the public, et cetera, et cetera. So this would then mean that someone could come into the job position with no education mentioned, because if they don't meet A, they don't necessarily have the 2 years of college. So if they're coming in using B for their minimum requirement, is it the intent to only have it be 2 years of experience?
Yeah, so the intent is for them to have 2 years of experience, and it specifies in what kind of fields. And the intent is also for them to, you know, start at either the front desk of the district attorney's office or in the lower witness coordinator spec. Start there and gain their 2 years experience there, and then move into the victim advocate series.
Okay.
So to kind of build a career ladder from the district attorney's front desk or the witness coordinator up into the advocate series.
Okay.
But if they have experience, say, working in social services or other related fields like education, counseling, support, they can also have that necessary experience from there.
And that brings me to one of the things that was specified in the supervisor's portion. There was a specification in there that said ERS or other paraprofessionals would not be qualified. Does that mean that someone as, say, an ERS or some other paraprofessional could not come in at the victim advocate level one?
They could come in at a one, they could not come in at a three, specifically is what we're trying to say. At a three level, they can't come in with that experience.
Okay. So ultimately, though, someone could come in then with ERS or paraprofessional experience. They could come in as a one, and then by working in this victim advocate position, they could move up to a two or a three?
Correct.
Okay. Because it was a little confusing to have it marked out so specifically that a paraprofessional could not apply, but you only mean that specifically for the supervisor level.
Correct.
Could someone become a supervisor if they worked themselves from victim one advocate and followed all of the other things, or would they have to get the four-year degree?
So as you'll note in the two, you can either have the four-year degree or you can substitute the degree
right.
for your experience, so they can theoretically work in the series and gain the experience that way and move up without the degree.
Okay, those are the questions that were the most concerning to me. All right. Are there any other comments or questions on, Mr. McKibben?
Thank you, President Hicks. Mark McKibben with HR. If I can follow up on the conversation we had with Ms. Bergman suggested in changing line 214 to say that it shall include. One of the concerns, again, we've had continuous conversations on this, is to, of course, increase the pool of people who can compete in the process. And again, these are the minimum qualifications, certainly. So typical language we would see, potentially rather than including the word shall, I would suggest we consider this may include a combination of either A or B. Because the shall language, the scenario is someone has 18 months of college, not 24.
Yeah, shall or combination is fine too,
okay.
Of either.
Okay.
But that's fine with
that's
me as well.
That's the key point for us to be able to provide the flexibility to
yes.
still meet the...
I agree with you.
Thank you.
And,
as long as
and
the shall word remains, that means it's going to be either a combination of those two.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And I tend to agree with that. I understand the need that HR has to cast a large net to make sure you have a good applicant pool. Also, though, I think as a commissioner, I look at it that we need to be sure that we are not setting somebody up for failure by having them come in with the may, and you know, they may sound really good on paper and they may interview really well but aren't actually able to accomplish the job. So I think that's why we kind of keep coming back to that particular point.
Yeah. I agree. We're certainly in that same interest as well.
Of course.
Single recruitment.
Of course, yes.
So thank you very much for the discussion. Appreciate it.
Okay. Based on our discussion of the job spec here for the victim advocate 1, 2, and 3, are there any other comments or questions, or are we ready to move forward with the changes agreed to?
I have nothing further.
Okay, I'll entertain them.
I'm ready to move forward to the coordinator position.
Okay. I'd like to maybe just clear the decks with this one, if it's okay, if we could if anyone here among the commission is ready to make a motion to accept the victim advocate 1, 2, and 3 as changed, then we can move on to the supervisor.
You want to hold a motion for each one individually?
Yes, please.
Hold a vote?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Madam Chair, Nina McGranty, if you could take public comment on this item before you take any action.
Oh, thank you very much. Yes. Is there any public comment on this particular specification?
5A.
5A.
I have a question.
Yes, Teresa.
This is Teresa Schultz from a senior labor representative from SOCIA. So I'm just seeking some clarification on what was just recently discussed for the language change that to may include a combination, and that was on page 5A 015. So would that mean that what is being suggested is that they could have a combination of either, if we're looking at line 216 and 219, that the employee would have, could do a combination of A and B?
I would suggest it would be either A or B. The situation that I was anticipating without the language that says a combination of, shall be a combination of, the scenario was someone who had, rather than 2 years of college, they had 18 months of college, but they met the 24 semester units, and they did not have the full 2 years of public contact experience. So if we have the shall be a combination of, that allows us to provide some substitution for experience for that education that may be missing a matter of a few months. And we see how people's life circumstances happen, and they don't get that 2 year degree, and we can't have them compete. And it's like, so that's exactly would be the scenario. So it would be a combination there with an or language, Teresa.
With an or. Correct.
Or.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Any other public comment? Seeing none.
Madam President, this is.
Yes.
Madam President?
Yes.
This is Dan Dow, District Attorney. I just wanted to thank the Commission and, first of all, just thank the HR Department for their incredible hard work and collaboration with our Victim Witness Division now for quite some time. As you know from the opening comments, this was a long time coming. This spec had not been changed in 22 years, and I really appreciate the additional modifications suggested and adopted this morning. I think that I'm very satisfied with the work this morning. And again, I would just wanted to thank your commission for taking this morning on your agenda.
Absolutely, we're just apologetic that this has been put off now for 2 or 3 months. So we appreciate your patience. Is there any other public comment on this victim advocate 1, 2, and 3 specification? Okay, I will close the public comment and come back to the commission.
I'd like to make a motion to approve 5A as amended.
Second.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion and 2 seconds. So let's with just a voice vote. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed indicate? Okay, this is approved. We've approved specification 5A. And let's move on now to the victim advocate. Let me find my place.
5A18.
5A18, thank you. No, that's the we're still on victim advocate. I'm looking for the victim. Here it is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
5B. 5B 003.
Yeah.
And we'll start again. Your sharp eye, Erica. Do you have any questions or comments on the victim witness supervisor?
Thank you, Commissioner Nick. I just have a couple of just very minor. Again, looking under the definition, this is page 5B003, line 8, under general direction. Again, I'm just wondering if we need to be a little bit more clean here or clear. General direction from whom, or again, if this satisfies the commission. I'm always concerned about a situation where you have multiple individuals in positions of authority or supervision, perhaps giving conflicting instructions or assignments or priorities, and there can be confusion for the person who's trying to execute under that supervision. So again, under the general direction of the division manager, or including but not limited to the division manager, this is just consistent with my earlier.
Maybe this is something that our representative from the DA's office could address.
Sure, thank you, ma'am. I would leave it as is, in that the understanding from our perspective or from an employee's perspective looking at this would be, if the supervisor that they is in their chain of command based off our organizational chart, all the way up to and including through the county level, right, all the way to the top, if they're given a lawful direction, they should comply with that and follow it. I would say that specifying by title who they should report to actually makes their job, it eliminates the flexibility that that's required.
So you're suggesting, like, if there's someone who's, say, on vacation and someone else is standing in for them, then you want to have that more broad ability to have flexibility when the person needs something right now for advice or whatever?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct. And I would prefer use the prior last year, a year and a half, almost 2 years, or year and a half of COVID as a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm. We've had employees reporting to other persons, and so that to me is a great example of why we should leave it as is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Does that help you?
I appreciate that, and I appreciate hearing sort of the expected or the typical line of command, is just sort of the standing expectation. So that's fine for me. I understand. I appreciate that. And I do appreciate flexibility in these types of descriptions, as I hope that, the county departments understand, is that job performance evaluations need to be tied to job descriptions, so specifically. And so I do take care in how we word these documents, because that is how some will be evaluated, and if there's anything that's unclear, that could in turn have repercussions on the evaluation period. But I appreciate it, and I accept that explanation. My second and final comment on this job description, it's still on page 5B003. Line 25 under typical tasks, supervises subordinate staff, including hiring, training, performance evaluation, and discipline. And again, I was wondering whether or not we needed to specify that subordinate staff, but I assume that the same explanation that was just given applies to the supervision scenario as well. So I think that concludes my comments. And I do want to harken back to an earlier conversation that we had repeatedly regarding this tug and pull between having some sort of baseline of job requirement or education requirement, and also wanting to be as flexible as possible to capture the largest pool of applicants as possible. And I'm happy that we have come to some compromise, at least with the prior job description. I think it's really critical that we do retain some level of flexibility. It is a way to become and to be more inclusive in our hiring process, and to recognize that people do come to their career paths do take varying direction and may not be linear and may not necessarily conform, but could still have the required qualifications. So I think it's important that we acknowledge that. And also keeping in mind that there is still a substantial interview process that has different requirements and hurdles that an applicant would have to go through. And of course, the probationary employment period as well. So I am supportive of language that recognizes that we do have some base level requirements, but also remains flexible to attract the largest applicant pool as possible.
And thank you.
Nothing else for me.
Thank you for those comments. And Jed, do you have comments on this specification for victim witness supervisor?
Yes, I'm just, the first time I look at the final version rather than the red, because there's such big changes to it, but I'm looking at 5B009, the distinguishing characteristics. The use of the ladder, the word ladder, L-A-T-T-E-R, is, I read it three times before I figured out what you were saying. I guess grammatically correct, but very confusing when you read it, especially because you're referring to two separate, one victim advocate, three, so that's below the supervisor, and then the next referral to the ladder is to the super, to the division manager. So I just find that language difficult. I understand that it is accurate. I just read it again for the third time and finally figured out what you're saying. And I see Erica nodding her head. While it would be wordier, it probably is better for clarity to eliminate the term ladder and use the actual category that you're speaking of, job classification.
Absolutely. I could change a sentence to say the victim witness supervisor is further distinguished from the division manager as the division manager retains overall responsibility for the administration of the victim witness assistance program.
Yeah, that would be good. And then you also say above that, it is distinguished from victim advocate three by the latter's sole responsibility for providing victim and witness services, victim/witness services, that you probably can clean that up as well.
I will do that.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have for this one.
Thank you. Mr. Bergman.
Okay, so 5B6. Mark, are we going to go and do the same thing with that one then as well? So it's going to be a combination, it shall include a combination of either?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's it for me.
Okay. That was all for you?
Correct.
Okay. On page 5B005, line 92, I'm looking at under ability 2. I did not find another wording, something that said communicate effectively verbally and in writing. And I'm thinking this is a supervisory position and should definitely have some address in their description that that is a requirement to them for them to be capable of. Can we add that?
So on 5B006, line 98, it does say prepare, present accurate and concise oral written reports.
Which line were you saying?
Line 98.
Okay, I missed that. Okay, but wait a second. Yes, I did see that, and the thing is it says reports, but communication is more than just reports, because in a report, at least in my mind, it's the
specific
that you're making a report either to a group or written. But in the case of day to day, you still need to be able to effectively write a memo to the staff or to verbally effectively tell either subordinates or others what you are trying to convey.
Okay, yeah, I can modify that line to also include communicate or add another bullet that states communicate.
Well, I think you already have one looking at the final version, 5B11, 74, convey clear directions and encourage communication with and among staff. I think that's what Jeannie's concerned with.
But it's not specific.
And also 76, develop, encourage, maintain positive working relationships, communicate, and work effectively with others.
Yes, those are important. I'm making a, maybe it's a fine distinction between these things I think are absolutely right and need to be called out. I just think that there should be the general overall statement that they can communicate effectively verbally and in writing.
That is the typical statement that we would include in those specs. So it's not a problem to have that. It might be intrusive if the department agrees.
Okay.
And what can it hurt to add it?
Pardon?
What can it hurt to add it?
Just limiting.
Okay, and then let me see here. I'm trying to. I'm on 5B006, line 117, and it says, and 1 year experience as a victim advocate 3, and, or an equivalent position. I'm not clear what an equivalent position means in that sentence.
Ma'am, if I could?
Sure.
So that's a great example of why cleaning these job specs up is so important, is because throughout the state of California, these job specs as proposed and job descriptions are consistent with how job titling and job specs are done in the victim witness advocacy work groups throughout the state of California. So now we would be able to look at a candidate who's coming in from another, trying to come in here from another county who has experience and some seniority if they're a victim advocate 3. We would be looking at in kind, if that makes sense. It would be consistent across the board. Hope that answers your question.
So the titling, we're trying to match our title to the majority titles out there, but there are still other counties and agencies that have different titling. So that's why we're trying to capture in that.
Okay, would, let's say that I'm someone in another county that may be flipping through the job specs to see if I qualify, how would I know equivalent position? How would I know whether my position was equivalent or not?
Typically, it would be that they would review the job description and then their own job description. So the job description is pretty clear in the duties, responsibilities, knowledge of, and so hopefully they're reviewing the description of the job that they're applying for and then comparing it to the duties that they perform.
That they've already performed.
Yeah. And then the analyst could also, oftentimes if a candidate is unsure, they do reach out to the analyst and the analyst can help them through that.
Okay. Okay. So just to be sure I understand, this equivalent position would be for someone who is doing some work perhaps. Would it be in this county? Is there another equivalent that might transfer in this county to this position?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
In this county, in terms of the equivalent to this title,
okay.
There's overlap, I'm sure, in some job descriptions in other county agencies. But this, I believe, is really intended
very
to
specific.
Stay within the victim advocate world, for lack of a better term, statewide.
Okay.
Which, maybe they're not coming from a public sector entity. Maybe it's an advocacy group that is a nonprofit or other things like that. So rather than limit it to got to be in the DA's office in this, again, it's more that. But as Jamie said, the specs are all posted, they're available publicly. And as part of a lateral transfer process, we interact with other counties about their spec versus our spec and are they equivalent. So it's not uncommon for us to go through those discussions.
Thank you very much. That does help clarify. Okay, is there any public comment on the victim witness supervisor? Public comment, anybody? Okay, seeing none, I'll call it back to the commission for resolution on the victim witness supervisor, which is 5B.
I move that we approve item 5B as amended.
Second.
Okay, there's been a motion and a second. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, that one is approved as amended. And now we're moving on to the I don't know how I got my papers so mixed up.
Six A.
Thank you. There was, I think that it for me, I've gotten myself is reading through these. We had the old description, we had the marked up description, and the final description. And I have to say that somehow my mind didn't connect all of them. So anyway, that's just my problem. Thank you all for your patience. Let's move on to 6A, which is witness coordinator. And this is the new position that was described. And we'll go to Erica again for any comments that you have.
I don't have any comments. The only item I flagged was the first line under supervision, but we've already discussed that, so I have nothing else to ask for a question on this one. Thank you.
Okay. Jed?
Once again, I looked at the final version rather than the red line on 6A005. There are no numbers on the side, but the second representative duty talks about other issues that may arise throughout the life of the case. Maybe that's something that the DA's office talks about, but I don't think that that's necessary to just say arise throughout the case. But
excuse me, would you say the line number again that you were looking at?
It's a second bullet point.
Oh. It's, if you're looking at 6A001, yeah, there's no line on it, but it's the second bullet point.
Okay, thank you.
The last.
Is there any comment from the DA's representative?
I can remove the life of.
Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Anything else? Mr. Berkman?
All right, so education experience, are we going to do the same thing? Mm-hmm. Shall with combo, combination?
Combination.
Okay, that was it. That was on page 6A3. All right, that's it for me.
Okay. And I'm on 6A002. And I'm looking at ability 2. And this one doesn't have a dot by it, but it starts out communicate effectively with others from diverse socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds. And I would just like to be more specific there and the communicate effectively, both verbally and in writing. I think especially important in this job, as I was looking at it, thinking how they might be reacting. If you're interacting with different socioeconomic and cultural backgrounds, being able to shift your language to you know, let's not use the four syllable words if you have someone who may be able to better understand you with simpler language. And so I think that to extent that that's the intent of this ability, I think that being specific would be helpful. And then the next line, the maintain confidentiality of sensitive material. What struck me there is there any information that is not confidential in a position such as this? Like, wouldn't it just be confidentiality of the entire case? Or sensitive information, I wasn't sure what you meant by sensitive information.
To answer that question, I guess I would fall back to witness coordinators are dealing with that some of the information on any case is public record, and much of the, what this was referring to is the personal information, personal identifying information, addresses, things like that, in addition to the sensitive information in the case itself. So there's a mix of some information that's public on criminal cases, and then there's some that is not public record. So I think that's why that point was made.
Would there be a way to indicate non-public, or am I being overly sensitive here?
If I could add as well, the trauma and injuries, et cetera, that witnesses and victims suffer would fall into the sensitive information realm. And I think keeping it open for interpretation by the witness coordinators, who are the experts and the victim advocates in the office, who are experts in these matters, is better than trying to specify out in the job description what is and what isn't sensitive material.
Okay. And HR, you?
I agree with that.
Okay. Okay. Then I'm also still on ability two, and this is the on 6A002. This is the last dot on that page, and it says learn courtroom techniques and guidelines, etc. The thought that occurred to me is that these individuals would not only need to learn those, but apply them and use them appropriately.
We could state, because really what they're trying, the intent of that is that they need to be able to advise the witnesses of what
right.
to expect, so I can add learn and advise courtroom techniques and guidelines.
The wording that I had was learn and apply or advise and use appropriately. Because, and maybe this is, but it's that the there are techniques and guidelines, and there's the interpretation of them, I guess is what I'm trying to say, is that they not only need to learn them, but they need to interpret and use them appropriately.
Yeah, so learn and advise on appropriate courtroom techniques and guidelines.
Okay. That sounds fine. And I believe that's all of my my questions. Is there any public interested in making a comment on this particular witness coordinator position? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the commission for action.
I'll make a motion to approve 6A as amended.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay, that one is approved as amended.
Thank you, commissioners. I just do need to note that Tim doesn't exist there, but he's under meeting to go through.
Okay.
Thank you all. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. It was helpful to have your input.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you as well.
Thank you, Mr. Dow.
And thank you, Mr. Dow. Okay. We are now moving on to reports and president report. Is Tammy on the call?
No, but I'll be speaking on her behalf.
You're on. Okay.
As far as the secretary.
Okay. I wasn't sure who was our secretary today.
It's me.
Okay. I just had one. I had two different things. In the past, we've had a regular, and this was eons ago, so bear with me, but I realized I missed it recently. There was a list of the classifications that existed in the county, and there were it was just kind of like a little thing you could look at. And the reason that this came up in my mind is that we have added different classifications, and one of the things that over the years the commission has tried to focus on, and I believe HR as well, was to be sure that we were keeping the classifications from mushrooming out where every single person who did one tiny little thing differently didn't have their own classification. And I was wondering a couple of things, and you may not have the answer now, but if it could come back to us with that information as to where we stand on classifications, and you may already know, and you are maybe doing this, but with classifications, like when there's one abandoned, do you then take it out of the pool of classifications, or is there a period of time before it's
Yes, we do. So we brought to the commission, my sense of time has been warped over the last year, as has everybody. But it was a couple of years ago, Mark, probably when we obsoleted a group of classifications.
I remember that.
We removed them and.
Correct.
And so I want, so the list that you have, all of our classifications are on NeoGov. They're all
right.
Listed as far as any existing active classifications that we have. Is that the list you're referring to, or is it a different list?
Well, I'm not one to go in and look on the web. I'm really not techno savvy. So
we could do a job class salary listing. So that's just one giant listing that's mm-hmm. published on our internet, and it has a list of all of the county's current classifications as well as the salary steps.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's what I'm familiar with from the olden days, and I'm just thinking in terms of wanting myself to be focused as I look at these things. Part of our job is to look at them to assure that there's not mission creep and keep jobs focused. Like one of the best things that I think the county did years ago was when they made the administrative assistant, and they put a lot of clerical positions into that role, because almost every department at that time had a separate classification for whoever was helping them in that role. So that's where I began to think about, are we now becoming so specialized that we're losing track of what jobs could be combined?
That is part of the analysis that HR undertakes when we get requests for departments, because with all due respect to our departments, they are special, they are unique in every
exactly.
single way. But yes, we have that responsibility for the greater good to maintain, create a list of positions that we can maintain on a regular basis. So I think Jamie's suggestion of the job class salary mm-hmm. is something that we can make available to you mm-hmm. in your next agenda packet, and even send you a link if you want to click on an email at home and make sure it's available for all the commissioners.
Okay, thank you. That's all I really was wanting there. Then the next item I have on my mind is that I believe, and I too have COVID-19 warp, but I believe at one of our recent meetings, we said that we agreed about the Zoom concept, that people who were making presentations could come in by Zoom. And I have to say that today has been horrible. As far as my sense of being able to relate, because this thing, I can't see the screen very well, so I'm trying to figure out who's talking. And we have two of our commissioners who are not here, which is making that very confusing to me. I'm admitting my lack of techno savvy. But I do think that we did agree that we would have presenters could be here via Zoom. I wish that our attorney could be here in person. I appreciate having staff here, and whoever is acting as secretary, I appreciate that. But I'm finding it very difficult to conduct a meeting in a fashion that I feel is tight and helpful with this disarray. I feel it's a lot of disarray. So that's a thought I'm bringing forward. And I don't know, Madam Attorney, is this something that as commissioners we can discuss? It's not on the agenda, or do we need to put it on a future agenda?
Madam President, Nina Negranti, that is something that you could agendize for the next meeting. I will briefly just give an update on Zooming and remote meetings under the governor's executive order. He has relaxed the Brown Act requirements, and essentially a public meeting can be held remotely. It would be difficult to require by a formal action that people attend in person, even with court hearings, et cetera. The public and the participants have the option to attend remotely. So it is very difficult for many people, this new way of conducting meetings. And as soon as there is a change with regard to the pandemic and with regard to the Brown Act, the rules not being relaxed, you will be seeing meetings conducted in the traditional fashion. But for now, it would be not recommended to attempt to require in-person participation during the pandemic and while the governor's executive order is in place.
Thank you. May I take any comment from others on the subject, or do we need to put it on the agenda?
I would ask that you put this, agendize this, so we don't get into a Brown Act violation.
Okay.
But it is definitely a discussion that will be continuing at all levels and for your commission.
Thank you. Then, Madam Secretary, would you put this on the agenda for the commission to discuss how we want to continue as far as Zoom meetings are concerned?
Yes.
Okay. And Commission Council, do you have a report?
You're asking for outside counsel?
I'm asking for Ms. Negrante.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm now at the part for Commission Council.
Okay, sorry about that. Thank you. Nothing to report.
Okay, thank you. And outside counsel, do you have anything to report?
No, President Nix, just with the agendized item on the meetings and the Zoom and all that, we probably need to add to the agendized item the conduct of hearings versus regular commission meetings.
Yes.
So that should be probably a separately broken out item.
Thank you.
Mr. McKibben has told me, a little birdie has told me, we're going to talk about some May hearing dates.
Okay.
So we need to address that as well if we may. And I have nothing further.
So would you
add it? Yeah, we'll break it up into
A and B.
A and B.
Okay. And Commission Secretary.
Yeah, so I know Mark is here for your scheduling pleasure. But before we get to Mark, I did want to follow up on a request that the commission made back in the October 2020 meeting. President Bergman had asked about the status of the rule change and would like to move it forward. So I wanted to report out to the commission, because of HR's strong participation, actually, it's beyond participation. We have a huge presence in the pandemic response, the county's pandemic response. So right now, due to us having 7 of our staff fully dedicated to the pandemic response, and we have 2 employees on leave, and due to the budget situation, we're going to have to keep a few of our positions vacant. We're looking at just over a quarter of our staffing capacity not available. And so we're requesting to delay that until we can sort out our, we're nearing a staffing crisis, to be completely honest.
Understood. Okay. Is there anything else for?
So that was it before we got into scheduling hearings.
Thank you. So currently there are 2 appeals moving their way through the process. One, we are optimistic we're going to be able to come up with a resolution about the need for a hearing. The other one, we're not at that stage yet. In speaking with appellant's counsel, the first opportunity for her schedule is in the middle of May. As typical, we will try to coordinate our hearings around your regular hearing dates, but in using that, even with that and other dates, the first thing available for appellant's counsel is the second week of May. So at this point, I would just like to ask the commission to what degree they want to hold a date or two during that week, or we can just make you aware of it at this point.
What type of hearing is it going to be?
At this point, it is a performance evaluation and a letter of reprimand that's being appealed by a single individual. There is a performance improvement plan that is in place and that is working through. So it's very fluid, I'll put it at that point. But at this point, it is the appeal and evaluation and a letter of reprimand.
So you would think that that would take 1 day, 2 days?
I believe 2 days. There will be at least two items up for appeal. There's two at this point. It's potentially there would be a third issue that the appellant would ask the commission to rule on. So.
And are you talking about the week of May the 10th or May the 17th?
And it'll be the week of May the 10th is my understanding of availability of appellant's counsel. What we could do is potentially move your regular meeting in May up from, I guess, what would be the
26th
up to that week, since there would be enough notice to do that, so that the commission wouldn't have to let it come back, you know, for the
meeting. For a second meeting.
So it would be 2 days, two consecutive days, preferably in the week of May 10th at this point.
Okay. Commissioners, Erica and Jed and Bob, as you look at your calendars, what are there any days you are available during that week?
Yeah, I'm pretty flexible.
First, I'd like to ask that we do move that the regular meeting, because I have a trial on the 26th, our normal day, so I wouldn't be able to attend in May unless we move it. I don't have anything other than, but that week's open other than the 13th.
And for me, Commissioner Nix, this is Erica, the week of May 10th is, I can't do the 19th, so that week in between is not good for me, but the 10th is open if we need to move it from the last week of May.
Okay.
The week of the 10th is fairly open.
Okay, and for me as well, Mr. McKibben, do you need from us a couple of dates in that week, or how would you like to have us get it on our calendar so we don't schedule over it?
Sure. It sounds like the only date not available is the 13th at this point for
right.
All commissioners here present. So what I can do is go back to appellant's counsel and get two dates nailed down and then affirm those back on your calendar.
Is that acceptable to the commission?
Sooner the better for me.
Yes.
Agreed.
I want to put the dates down, but
right.
If the court tells me I got a trial that week, then
right.
I think we should put the dates down now and let them know what they will be, period. They can either be here or not.
I agree.
So I'm happy to have the commission identify two dates outside of the 13th, and we'll communicate that to appellant counsel.
Are the commissioners okay with the 11th and 12th?
Yes.
Yes.
I am.
And then we'll move the regular meeting to the 12th. Or the 11th, I don't care.
Right. Bob, did that work for you?
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So then we'll be notifying the appellant's counsel that we've set the dates for May 11th and 12th.
Correct. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anything else from?
One other item, just something to put on your radar. There was an Assembly Bill 846 that was passed by the California legislature late last year. It requires that entities employing public peace officers update the job specifications for peace officers in multiple ways. They must be updated to remove references to paramilitary type actions and or equipment, emphasize community policing, and emphasize evidence-based investigations. What I'm providing the commission now is that I'm going to come to you next month with a request that HR be allowed to make those changes administratively without bringing each job specification to you in a formal presentation, as we typically do. So maybe similar to like a consent item or something similar. There's about 30 job specifications. There are six different unions and multiple departments. It involves the DA, the sheriff's office, social services as well, who have peace officer people who are employed. So what we're doing right now in the, to prepare is to collect standard language that management would like to see We would then go to each of the union associations with language that they would like to see. I hope to come to you with an agreement on what that language is, present that to you with a list of the job classes, and
a blanket.
At that point in time, ask for mm-hmm.
A blanket approval. A blanket approval.
Yes.
And you're saying that you're going to get approved language that would go into all of those job classes that have those functions.
Correct.
And so it would just be a matter of us approving that language and then dropping it in to all of the relevant. Okay, that makes sense.
That's my plan at this time. Just give you a heads up, as it's different from our normal practice. But given we got 30 job specifications, we'd like to find some efficiencies where we can. Again, to leverage off of what Jamie talked about as far as the impact on our staff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That'll be coming next month. Thank you. That's all.
And is there anything else for me?
I have nothing else.
Okay. At this time, I would like to, as we are going to be moving into closed session on three different closed session matters, I'd like to open it for any public comment on any of the closed session matters. Is there any public comment on those? Hearing none, I'm going to move to item number 8, public comment on closed session, and we will ask for the tape to be turned off, and we will go into closed session.
That would be number 9, but did you want, Rosa, did you want to let Jed and Erica know what's coming?
Yes, I'm gonna end this meeting and then send you both a separate link for the closed session instead of using the conference call line.
Okay. Thank you.
Nina will report out after closed session.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Be well, everyone.
Thank you.
We're back on the record after consultation with our attorney. There's no action to report. This meeting is now adjourned.